Amen. Great job. Thank you, Laura. Praise the Lord with trumpet sound. That's what you've done today. If you have your Bible, I'd like to invite you to open to 1 Kings 11:38 this morning. We've been in 1 Kings on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and today a Father's Day message entitled, How to Build an Enduring Home. How to Build a Strong Christian Enduring Home. 1 Kings 11:38. Hard to believe today is my 27th Father's Day sermon. First one was on June 16 in 1996, and so this would be number 27. I hope it has good results. May God bless His Word. 1 Kings 11:38. And it will be that if you listen to all that I've commanded you and walk in my ways and do what is right in my sight, by observing my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build you an enduring house as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you. If, then, how to build an enduring house. Let's pray that God speaks to our hearts. Father in heaven, we ask you to bless this passage today. Help us to recognize the heavy, weighty responsibility we have as dads, as grandparents and great-grandparents, to continue doing what this prophet Ahijah told Jeroboam that sadly he did not do. Thank you, God, that we can do it. And I pray that you'll let today's message bear fruit in every heart, especially those of the dads. In Jesus' name, amen. John Greenleaf Whittier wrote, of all the words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. Truer words have never been spoken when it comes to a father's spiritual influence on his family and on his descendants. Dads, what we do not only affects us, it affects our children and their children for many generations. And I believe there'll be some Christian dads when they get to heaven and will hear the Lord's words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's all the dads in the blended service at 10:30, right? Amen. But there will be some who get to heaven and hear the words of God through the prophet Isaiah. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened unto my commandments, then thy peace would have been as a river and righteousness like waves of the sea. One man's actions not only affect his family, but they affect his children's families for generations. Back in the 1800s, there was a sociologist named Richard Dugdale, and Richard wanted to find out why people chose a life of crime. And so he did his sociology work at a prison in New York to find out there were six prisoners there, all related to a man named Max Juke. Now, that was Dugdale's name for the guy. It wasn't his real name, but that's the name he gave him so he would not embarrass him. Well, Max was a frontiersman in the mountains of New York. He was a hard drinker. He was a non-believer. He was a non-church goer. And as with every dad, his actions did not just affect him, but they affected his children, his grandchildren, great-great-great-great-great-great for generations. Now, many unbelievers today on websites try to undermine the facts of his family tree. The truth is this. They like to quibble over the exact numbers of his sons that were paupers and criminals and the exact numbers of his daughters that were brothel keepers and prostitutes. But the facts of Dugdale are pretty clear. Of 709 descendants, there were hundreds, and I'll just be general to say hundreds of sons who were criminals and paupers, and hundreds of daughters who were prostitutes and brothel keepers. And not every male descendant was a criminal or pauper. Not every daughter a prostitute or brothel keeper. The truth is, a relatively high percentage of them were that. Dugdale printed his findings in a study called A Study in Crime and Pauperism, Disease and Heredity. He concluded it's environment to blame for the family's bad behavior. It's all environment. Or as a Baptist preacher, maybe it was the fact that when there's no spiritual leadership in the home, that outcome continues for generations. For generations. The great preacher Jonathan Edwards and his wife Sarah were a godly couple. As you know, Edwards became president of Princeton College. Their descendants included one U.S. vice president. Their daughter married Aaron Burr. Three senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 65 professors, 80 public office holders, 100 lawyers, and 100 missionaries and pastors. Some call it environment, some call it genetics. I say when there's spiritual leadership in the home, that spiritual leadership will affect and impact the family for generations. That was the message an unknown prophet named Ahijah told Solomon's official Jeroboam. Foreign wives turned Solomon's heart away to foreign gods, so God would tear the kingdom from Solomon's son and give 10 tribes to Jeroboam. Jeroboam's family would reign over Israel and build a strong, enduring house if, as long as, he did these three things. Now, sadly, he did not. Dad, whether you're old, middle-aged, or young, whether you have no children, grandchildren, the good news today that I share is we can still have a strong, enduring house if we'll do what Jeroboam could have done but didn't do and should have done. Granddads and dads, don't let it be said of us, of all the words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these: it could have been. To build an enduring house, we have to do three things, and they form the acrostic LOT, because old Lot didn't do any of these things. Number one is every dad must listen to God's commands. Listen to God's commands. First phrase of 38, then it will be that if you listen to all that I've commanded you. And stop there. A strong, enduring house starts with dad listening and hearing God's commandments. And the word for hear is Shema. That gives us the name of the passage in Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Shema means listen, hear, understand, so that you can obey. In order to listen, understand, so your life can be changed, you have to hear. And your kids' lives will never be changed unless they can hear. And so it's important that we hear and know what God's word is. A lot of dads profess to be Christians, but rarely attend Bible study in church. And they don't know who Jeroboam was, and they don't know why God tore the kingdom from Solomon's son. And dad, it's important for you and me to know these things, not just so we can pass on trivia to our descendants, but so that we can do what Solomon did not do, and that is to change how we live to reflect what we believe. Now, dads, we cannot change our ancestors. They're dead and gone, right? We can't change what they've done. What they've done, they've done. But we can change our descendants who come after us because they've not yet done what they've not yet done. So, dad, even if you didn't do a really great job with your own kids, you can still be changed by God's commands, and we can still have some influence on our children, our grandchildren, and future generations. That's good news. It all starts with making a commitment to being faithful in church and Bible study starting today. That's where I need a mic to drop it, right? Boom. All right. A few years ago, Promise Keepers and Baptist Press reported, if the father does not go to church, father does not go even if the mom does, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper at church. One in 50. If you're that one, thank God and thank your mom. You can be sure Timothy thanked his mother Lois and his grandmother Eunice for the impact they made on his life. He was the one. If a father does go to church regularly, regardless of what the mom does, 2/3 to 3/4 of the children will still be attending church as an adult. 2/3 to 3/4. If a father attends church irregularly, hit and miss, still you're going to have about 2/3 of the children that will attend church. If a mother doesn't go to church, but the dad does, 2/3 of the kids will still go to church. Here's the number that's best of all. Listen. If both mom and dad attend worship and Bible study together as a regular habit and practice, 3/4 of their children will still be going to worship and Sunday school even when they are adults. What does it mean? Oh, it means the great need of the day is for mom and dad faithfully to attend Bible study and worship together, or else don't be surprised in 100 years if none of your descendants are saved and they're ungodly and pagan. You can't teach what you don't know. And Jeroboam couldn't live and teach what he didn't know. So it all starts with knowing and listening. Solomon's son would lose the kingdom because Solomon did not listen to what God said. Deuteronomy 17:17, God said, "You shall not multiply wives, lest your heart turn away." Joseph Smith had 50 wives. His successor, Brigham Young, had 55. Don't you know they did some hermeneutical gymnastics to reinterpret that verse? Deuteronomy 7:3, God said, "You shall not intermarry with the unbelievers of the land." Solomon did it anyway because he wanted to. Exodus 34:15, God said, "Don't make covenants with the unbelievers of the land." And by taking those 700 wives as part of treaty covenant agreements with other nations, Solomon broke that one too. So he either didn't know Deuteronomy 17:17, 7:3, Exodus 34:15, or he didn't care what they said because he wanted to do what he wanted to do. And I think that's what it was. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. Paul told Timothy, you need to retain the standard of sound words, meaning you need to know what God's word says, because what you don't know will hurt you, and what you don't know will hurt your descendants. I think of the atheist Madeline Murray O'Hare. Had a son named John Murray. Never met his dad. Didn't know who his dad was. Wound up one day serving as president of American Atheist. Now, John had a half-brother named William, also grew up as an atheist. In fact, the court case that kicked out what Bible reading or prayer out of the public schools was based on William. But later, William came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And of course, Mom and half-brother John totally rejected him. William Murray shared his testimony here at Scott Lake back in the 80s. Fast forward to the mid-90s, Madeline Murray and her son John were kidnapped and killed in San Antonio over a gold coin deal that went bad. That's another story. What about that other son that became a Christian, William Murray, who gave his testimony here at Scott Lake? The 76-year-old now Baptist preacher is serving as chairman of the Religious Freedom Coalition in Washington to lobby Congress to help Christians in Islamic and communist countries. God bless him. God help him. Most children will follow the way of their parents, most. But the children don't have to follow the way of their parents. But to follow the truth, they need to know it. Somebody's got to make sure they know it to teach them. It was to Dad the command of the Shema was given, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." We have to listen to God's commands to live them. And oh, can I say this on Father's Day? We got to be at church and Bible study to grow in the Word so we can know it to teach it. We got to be in Bible study and Sunday school. We have to be here to hear it, to know it. Did you know, shock and awe, Karl Marx did not go to church on Sundays. No, socialist Karl Marx did not go to church on Sundays. He took his kids to the park for a picnic on Sunday. That's what he was doing. I'm not against picnics, but kids need spiritual training from the Bible more than they need picnics on Sunday. Karl Marx liked to drink a pint of beer at every pub on his street. There were 18 pubs on his street. Do the math. No wonder he turned out the way he did and his kids turned out the way they did. But it wasn't just socialist Karl Marx. It's lots of Christian dads who don't spend time with their kids. You know, I go on and on about Billy Sunday. I really love Billy Sunday. And God used him in a great way, certainly during the Prohibition. But Billy Sunday himself said, quote, "The great tragedy of my life is I've led thousands of people to Christ, but my own sons are not saved," end quote. Billy left his kids with a nanny while he and his wife Nell, her name was Helen, he called her Nell, as they traveled around the country, they left all their family with a nanny. He was not involved in his kids' spiritual lives, personally teaching them God's Word. Son George was arrested for drunkenness and auto theft, took his own life, 1932. Son Billy struggled with alcohol, died in a car crash. Son Paul killed in a plane crash. Daughter Helen died of pneumonia. Here you have this great man of God. And like Eli the priest, by his own admission, he was not a good father. Billy Graham confessed in the mid-1950s. His trips away from home lasted for months. Once he said, "I got back home and I saw my kids and I didn't know they were my children." Page 702 of Just As I Am autobiography. He said, "I missed the best part of their lives, enjoying them as they grew. I was too busy preaching all over the world, and now as I look back, I know that I came through those years much poorer, psychologically and emotionally. I missed so much by not being home to see the kids develop and grow." Billy Graham said the greatest regret of his life, listen, was he did not spend more time with his kids when they were young. Dads, we don't get that time back. I wish you got to do over a mulligan, you know, that you got the time again, but you don't. It's important we prioritize God's commands today so we can know them today and tell them today and teach them today and let them change our lives so we can change other lives today. Put yourself in a place where you're going to know God's word for yourself and your future descendants and do it starting every Sunday today. An enduring house requires listening. Number two, let's see, Lot didn't do what? He didn't listen, he didn't obey. Jeroboam did not obey God's commands. That's 38, second phrase. It says, and walk in my ways and do what is right in my sight by observing my statutes and my commandments. These verbs, walk, do, observe, are action verbs, and they mean we need to act on what we learn and know and hear. The whole point of hearing and listening and knowing is not just to increase our knowledge of it, but so that we can obey it. You read throughout Deuteronomy, I bet it's 50, 100 different times, maybe more than that. I looked at all the different times you find the word observe, and it's like 50 to 100 times. 6:3, hear, O Israel, be careful to observe them. That means obey them. 4:2, observe them. 4:5, observe them. 4:40, observe them. And on and on and on. It would take probably 10, 15 minutes to go through all the observes in Deuteronomy. God said it's not enough just to hear it and listen to it and know it. The purpose of listening, hearing, and knowing is so that we can obey it. Dads, the reason we prioritize learning and knowing God's word is so we can obey what it teaches and so our children and descendants can see that we observe God's commands and it will encourage them to obey God's commands. More than just telling them, we need to show them. Faith needs to be show and tell, not tell and tell. Because what we do makes a difference in the lives of those who come after us. Now, I have a feeling you guys are smart in history. I know some of you hate history, but see if you can tell who this infamous person was that I'm going to describe. This man's dad was a very wealthy, successful businessman. But in time, there were some deaths in the family, and it caused the dad to turn to alcohol, and he began to drink heavily. It was time for the kids to go to school, but there was no money to send them to school because dad had drunk it all up in booze. Well, the man's drinking got worse and worse and worse until he was arrested for public drunkenness on several occasions. When the man's wife died, his alcoholism got worse and worse and worse, and there was no money for anything at all, leaving the kids with no money at all. One of his sons managed to get a job in the military. Because his dad had instilled in all the children a love for money, a focus on money, a passion and priority, and it's all about money, 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 money. His military son ran up a bunch of military debts and believed the only solution to his money problems was more money problems, was more money. So here's the clue, and it's going to be easy. He made a deal to betray West Point and his nation, and you know who it was. All right, you know who it was. Here's the question. What was his dad's name? Oh. Who's the son we're talking about? Benedict Arnold. What was Benedict Arnold's daddy's name? You ready? Mr. Arnold. Well, you're going to learn something today. That was good. Benedict Arnold. Benedict Arnold's daddy's name was Benedict Arnold. Benedict Arnold the traitor had a son. His name was Benedict Arnold. His son had a son. His name was Benedict Arnold. I'm Larry, this is Mother Brother Daryl, this is Mother Brother Daryl, right? Kind of like that, no. What does all this mean? Ooh, don't you know they live tough having that name to bear? If a good name is to be chosen rather than riches, what's a bad name worth? We don't know a lot about Jeroboam. His dad's name was Nebat from the tribe of Ephraim, north of Israel. We know Jeroboam probably helped with Solomon's construction and building. He's probably the guy that got the slave laborers from Ephraim, if truth be told, persecuting and turning up his own people if the price was right. And even though only worship was to happen in Jerusalem, when the kingdom split, Jeroboam feared all the Jews going back to Rehoboam, so he put the golden calves in Dan and Bethel so they would never be tempted to go down to Jerusalem. And every time idolatry is preached and practiced in the Bible, we find these words, the sons of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. That's the way it is for you and me. The sons of will do what we did. Children follow their parents' examples. If the parents obeyed God's commands, it's likely the kids will too. If the parents don't obey God's commands, it's likely the kids won't either. And I say likely, oh, listen, here's the good news. There's always that one good child, like a Hezekiah, son of evil King Ahaz, who breaks the pattern. There's always that good son, Joash, son of evil King Ahaziah, who breaks the pattern. Good King Asa, son of evil King Abijah, who breaks the pattern. There's always exceptions. As a general rule, most children follow the pattern of the parents. And in northern Israel, we don't find many exceptions to the rule. In fact, there's none. Parents set the course. Children sail the direction, the release, like arrows. And so, dads, if you want to build a strong, enduring home, do what Jeroboam should have done but didn't do. L, learn, listen to God's word. O, obey His commands. And then the T of Lot, who didn't do any of that, teach God's commands. Teach. Listen, obey, teach. Verse 38, last phrase, it says, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build you an enduring house as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you. God said, do what David did, and I'll be with you. Look at his model. Follow him. He wasn't perfect by any means, but at least he didn't worship idols like Solomon did. David had his faults, but God could still say, follow David's example. Dads, God expects us to be the primary teachers of spiritual truth to our children. Now, I know it's the mom who typically shoulders the burden for doing that, and praise God that they do, lest it not ever be done. Praise God for the moms that do that. But that doesn't change the fact it's the dads who were charged by God. The words of Deuteronomy 6:7, you shall teach them. Teach them what? The commandments, the truth, the gospel, a biblical worldview, everything in His Word. Dads, we are the ones that are charged to do that. Teach them diligently to your sons. Talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when it's natural. And lie down when you rise up, all the time, all day long. Mom and dad should both teach the kids about Jesus. I got it. But it's the dads the command is given, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Old Testament priests were given the responsibility of teaching the sons of Israel. And dads should be the primary teachers of spiritual truth in the home about God and Jesus and the Bible. There's a time to direct your kids to do their homework and brush their teeth. There's a time to direct them about heaven and what they need to do to be prepared to go there. Yes, talk to them on their level, and don't try to force them into making a spiritual decision they're not ready to make. Whatever we can talk them into, somebody else can talk them out of. Don't manipulate them. But the bottom line is, even after they pray to receive Christ and make a commitment to Jesus, understand the teaching and direction is started. Only then it started. We need to help them understand God's Word, pray with them, give them a biblical worldview. The spiritual task is given to dads. Praise God to single moms who do it. But friend, realize, friend, listen, this is a holy hush moment. The real key to America's future is having dads in the home that go to church and teach the children spiritual truth. I think if we get that right, America will be right. Until we get that right, it can never be right. We got to get dads back in the homes. If you look at the home life of all the recent shooters in schools, you'll find kids without any spiritual guidance from a mother or a father. Law Enforcement Today magazine recently reported, quote, out of 56 school shooters, that's a lot, only 10 grew up in a stable home with both biological parents in the home. Now, that doesn't mean these were parents that took their kids to Sunday school and church, but I mean just had pagan parents in the home. 46 did not have a mom and a dad. 10 did. And let me add a little something here. I guarantee you study those 56 school shooters and say how many had a mom and a dad that loved Jesus and took their kids to church and Sunday school every week, and the answer is going to be zero. Zero. Susan Vinker did an opinion piece for Fox News. She said, deeper than the gun problem is we've got boys in America that are broken. And she went on to report how we need daddies back in the home. And I would say we need Christian daddies back in the home. We need dads who will listen to God's commands and obey God's commands and then teach their children God's commands. parents and daddies who are actively doing what Billy Sunday confessed he did not do and Billy Graham confessed he did not do and should have done. Be more involved in their children's spiritual training and upbringing. If you didn't do a great job with your kids, God gives you a second chance in your grandkids. If your kids are still alive, you can still influence them. You can still make a difference, have an impact. Get involved, dads. Get involved. Do what Jeroboam should have done but didn't do. Listen to it, obey it, teach it. Do more than what you've done. Kick it up a notch. I don't know who wrote this poem. I've shared it several times throughout the last 27 Father's Days. And there's no better day than today to share it. It's probably the poem I call the easiest poem to read and get choked up while reading. That's the poem. It's anonymous. Nobody knows who wrote it. I didn't write it. Don't know who wrote it. But here's what it said. If you got kids, think about it. If you got grown kids, think about it. Try not to get choked up. I'll try. I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still and moved it and yielded to my will, I came again when days were past. That bit of clay was hard at last. The form I gave it still it bore, and I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay, your children, gently pressed it day by day, and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when years were gone. It was a man I looked upon. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress bore, and I could fashion him no more. That's the way it is. Short time is all you got. Look up. They're gone. And what they are, they are. And what they're not, they're not. So dads, I want to encourage you to be more involved in your kids and your grandkids and your learning and your listening and your obeying and your teaching and your training and your getting involved in their lives spiritually, because that's what they need more than anything in the world. Don't raise a Max Jukes or a Benedict Arnold. Man, do what God wants you to do. And do it with passion. Regardless of how old they are, you can still make a difference. And God gives us grandkids in case we didn't do a great job the first time. Make a difference. Of all the words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these. It could have been. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'll help us as dads to do what we should do and live as we should live and learn and obey and teach. And God, provide the kind of example that David did, not perfect, but certainly not worshiping idols and going off into false teaching, being faithful in worship and Bible study and setting the example by what we do. Even if we sense nobody cares, nobody looks, nobody knows, nobody hears, God, we're faithful and we're setting the track record. We're laying the legacy down for future generations. One individual, one mom, one dad can change the course of history. And I pray we'll never forget it. Father, if there's one this morning that's never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, today would be the day. Thank you, God, that Jesus paid it all, and as we trust in Him and invite Him to come into our heart and life and save us and forgive us, He does that. And as the resurrected, historically, literally, bodily Lord of all creation, we know that as Jesus lives, so shall we. And we have the promise of eternal life and the hope of eternal life. God, for those here this morning or watching online that don't have that hope, that aren't certain they're going to heaven, trusting in head knowledge, good works, Lord, let them see their need for the Savior. Challenge and change their heart today. For those who need a church home, Scott Lake is where you want them. Let it be clear. Thank you for this awesome privilege of sharing your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Invitational hymn today is 296, Jesus is Lord of All. Jesus is Lord of all. Man, what a great song to sing, right? Let's stand and sing. If you need to come, I'll wait for you. You come off. I can pray with you or help you. Won't you come? Next verse is our last verse. Dads, especially, I want to encourage you as we all sing to let this be your prayer to God. All right? This is the prayer of every dad to God. Mean it as you sing it. If you still need to come, I'm here for you. Let's sing. Tonight, we continue our study in eschatology, and I've inserted the fill-in-the-blanks there for you. It's on the final judgment, the great white throne judgment. And so take time to look at those fill-in-the-blanks. If you know all the answers, come. If you don't know all the answers, come, okay? So we'll go over that tonight, and I think it'd be profitable. The next Sunday night, we'll be looking at the eternal state. What in the world's eternity going to be like? And so that's next Sunday night, all right? Thank you for your generous giving. I pray that God will continue to bless as you give and make giving part of your worship. Brother Clive, are you the praying man today? You got it. Pray for the offering. And pray that God will be with all of us as we travel and keep us safe and bring us back tonight, please.
Thank you for your word today, Pastor. Our Father in heaven, we are truly honored and thankful to be here today, and thank you for the obedience for us to come this morning and to be a part of this awesome service. Thank you for the teaching. Some may say, well, you know, I don't have children in the home anymore, but maybe you have grandchildren or great-grandchildren, and you can still use the message of listening, obeying, and teaching in your grand's lives. You know, the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Luke says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your lap." Giving is part of worshiping. And giving in accordance with God's word and His blessing in our lives is even more pleasing to God and beneficial to us. For He says, "Give, and it will be given back to you." Let's obey Him today. And Father, we give you thanks for this church and for the way in which your people give. May you bless them today. As we go, Lord, I pray that you will keep us safely in your presence. And may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God, our Redeemer, our Rock. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.